person next to you, just on their shoulder, on their shoulder. And I want you to prophesy with me over people. Now, if this is your first time, a word of truth, it's the truth you know that'll set you free. And here's some truth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here's the truth. Just like our father Abraham, we can speak things that are not as though they were. This is the truth. The truth is, what you say that's the word of God, the devil can't do one thing about it. Here's the truth. God says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope and an expected end. Here's the truth. God says we don't go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. Here's the truth. The truth is, you are God's son and you are God's daughter, and he's about to show up in your life, because 2024 is the year for more. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this after me. Say, in Jesus' name, I speak over your life that you haven't seen anything yet. It's 2024. It's your year for more. And God is going to do far more than you can ask or think. And that starts today. We announce from heaven to earth that March is miracle month. Your miracle is on the way in the name of Jesus. Now let's put a hand clap on that. Come on, y'all. Now before you're seated, I just want to tell you this. When we clap, this was a form of worship. This is not good. My team scored a touchdown. I love that song. No, here's what this means. When God says to clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, here's what he was saying. When you're clapping, and then we're going to put a little hallelujah on top of it when I count to three. When you're clapping, here's what it means. This is heaven. This is earth. God is bringing heaven to my earth. Watch this. When you're clapping, this is natural. This is supernatural. God says, I'm going to bring my super into your natural. When you clap, here's what God is saying. This is what you can't control, but I control everything in my hand. When you clap, you're bringing my super into your natural. Come on now. You're bringing my controllable into your uncontrollable. Come on. You're bringing God into your life. Now let's clap like that. Come on. Come on, y'all. And then on the count of three, give me your best hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Come on, word of truth. God is so good. Give somebody a hug, an elbow, a fist bump, something. Tell somebody you're glad they're here. Man, I just have to say, first of all, again, how much I love your pastor. There is nobody in the world like Pastor Evan Connor. Y'all, listen, I'm not just saying that. He carries with him the spirit of Nathaniel. You say, what does that mean? Jesus had a lot of disciples. He had a lot of followers. But when he saw Nathaniel, here's what he said. There's no guile in him. So where there's a lot of guile in people, if you need to know the definition of that word, just look it up. It's not good. But most people have guile. You know why? Because the devil wants to hurt you, and it starts very early in our life because he doesn't want you to be gracious. And so every time we get hurt, the enemy says, I'm going to use that to dig a well of guile in people. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, guard your heart because out of your heart flow your issues. So the enemy says, let's just keep bad stuff happening so we fill their well up with the wrong things. You've got a pastor that doesn't carry a guileless spirit. He carries a gracious spirit. And that's what I love about him so much. Thank you, Pastor Evan. Would you give your pastors a big hand? We love you so much. Love you so, so much. And I have to say this, and I don't want to be, I hope this is appropriate, because I'm going to act like I'm at home. Okay? This morning during worship, first of all, I want to say something to y'all. Y'all are spoiled rotten. You don't even know it. You just come in here. I mean, it's like, well, which person's going to bring it? Oh, she's going to bring it. Okay. Well, then all of a sudden she brings it. And then y'all don't even know this, but you have a Holy Ghost filled Teddy Pendergrass. I hope it's okay if I say that, but all of a sudden he starts singing, he'll be all right. He's singing, he'll be all right. I'm thinking, man, I turned to my crew that's with me. I said, he's a Holy Ghost filled Teddy Pendergrass. I'm telling you, man, it is so powerful. Like, I mean, Pastor Polo, I mean, we got Gucci in the house. We got Polo in the house. I mean, come on, y'all. Pastor Gucci and Pastor Polo all in one house. What in the world? What in the world? I'm serious, man. He started going and I said, I almost text Pastor Evan and said, I'm not even going to preach. I just want them to go. Just keep going. That was amazing. To the worship team. Wow. The musicians. So amazing. So amazing. Thank you for that. So powerful. I want to just take a real quick minute and tell you that the greatest gift God's ever given me besides his son Jesus is in the house. And that means a lot more to me than it does to you. But the Bible says, and I preached this the last time I was here, he that findeth a good woman findeth a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. I just want to honor my favor. She's here today. My precious wife, Sheila. Sheila, would you just stand? She's the mother of our house. We've been together 577 months. And, she had her 64th birthday yesterday and it was just wonderful. So, I don't know what your wife wants for her birthday, but I didn't even have to ask her. She said, a new house. It's like, well, okay. Let's start with a card. She's blowing out her two candles, 64. That's what happens. You get older, you get two candles that just, anyway. And I said, I know what you're saying. And guess what? We live on a ranch in Salina because all of our kids, well, I'm going to tell you the quick story. So I'd actually built her dream house, in 2014. And, but I told my kids when they were growing up, I said, I believe what we're going to do, we're always going to do together. What do y'all think about that? And so they said, yeah, of course they're a little bitty. And so now they're all pastors with me. They coach with me. They're all in all of our businesses, everything that we do. And so anyway, a couple of years ago, we get a call and from our last born daughter. And she said, hey, you know how you said that what we do, we're always going to do together. Maybe we could all live on the same property. And I'm thinking when she's saying that, yeah, but we built Mom her dream house. And so she said, I found some land in Salina. I go, Salina. So anyway, then my son calls about 2 weeks later and he says, you know how you said we're always going to do together? I'm tired of my HOA. I don't know. Y'all have never been tired of your HOA. Anyway, he said, I'm ready to all of us move on land together. So I call her Pastor Precious. I said, Pastor Precious, we're going to go and we're going to look at this land. So we went and looked at the land. Long story short, we walk in, I'm talking to the owner. He said, I'm not supposed to say anything, but Dak Prescott wants to buy this. I said, has he given you a check? He said, no. I said, I'm buying it today. That's how long it took me. I thought, what's good for Dak? It's good for me. Anyway, so it's better for me. Come on, y'all. It's better for you. Somebody just gives you a picture of what's possible for you. So anyway, I intercepted. Hey, and Dak doesn't even know it, so y'all don't tell him. He said, man, I threw that ball. I don't know where it went. That's because I took it and I ran. All he saw was the back of me, you know. But anyway, so we moved onto this land. Well, what came with the land was a barn. So we moved from her dream home to a barn. And so it's a barn that has another barn. So there's two barns. But the good news is my son has built the first house. We've got three children and they're all going to have very much nicer houses than we have because we live in a barn. And so my wife said, I'd like to convert the other barn because maybe it'll be a nicer barn than this barn. So anyway.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. We're barn people. At least not barn animals. But anyway, I just real quick just want to say also I brought just two of the dearest couples, not just men, but two of the dearest couples that are in our life. And hopefully I'll have some time at the end because I want to introduce you to them. But this is Zeus and Tiandra. They are chiropractors. I also have the privilege to coach them. They're a part of our church and some of the dearest people in our lives. And sometimes I just tell them, I say, y'all come go with us. And I said, I want y'all to come with me to this great church. So I want y'all to meet Dr. Zeus and Dr. Tiandra. Would y'all just stand and y'all give them a hand. They're visitors in your house today. Thank y'all for being here. And then Josh and Amy too flew all the way from Minnesota to be with us this weekend. I coach him. I coach his organization. We may have time to talk about that. But anyway, this is Josh and Amy too. Would y'all stand and give them a hand for being here? So we're just being our family. We just brought some of our family to be with y'all, if that's all right. So anyway, so great to be with you. And then hopefully I'll get to tell you a little bit about what we brought with us today to help you. But I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I felt like, and I want to say this with Pastor Evan when he invites me to come, there's some things that I feel like are life messages for me. This is one of them today. And when I say a life message, in the context of this is part of what the alignment of Pastor Evan and I are about. It's our life messages are very similar. And you may not realize this, but you have a life message. Your life message is a result of life sentences that you've had in your life. Life lessons that you've had in your life. Revelations that God has given you. And God's going to give some of you a revelation today. Put an amen on that. The level of your revelation determines the level of your transformation. So in other words, God, if God's going to bring you from glory to glory, he says, listen, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 of Romans 12 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that perfect, that good, that acceptable will of God. And so transformation does not happen without the renewing of our mind. We believe at Elevate Life Church that when you elevate your thinking, you elevate your life. And so today, that's what I'm going to believe for you, is that just in the few minutes that we have, that out of this life message that God has given me, and I'm wearing my message on my shirt, is that God will speak to you. And then even as you come to the day when Pastor Evan is calling you together to advance the kingdom of God like never before, you'll know that you have this word in your heart. Amen? In Jesus' name. So I want you to go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're reading from the 13th verse. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the word on the street about me? What are people saying about me? So they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah, that you're one of the prophets. And then he looked at them and he's asking the same question of each one of us today. And that is, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I'm? So he's saying, hey, what's the word on the street about me? Who do men say that I am? Well, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? And it was Simon Peter that spoke up and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to stop right here and just say that he didn't say you're Jesus. He said you are the Christ. Can you say the Christ? You are the Christ. Now, why didn't he say, you're Jesus? You can imagine some of Jesus' disciples going, why is he asking us these questions? Have you ever had anybody ask you a question and you thought, why are you asking me that question? The power of a question is it directs the answer that you get. The power is not in the question. The power is in the answer, which makes questions either powerful or confusing. So some people walk around and they ask the wrong questions. One of the questions that they ask is, why does this always happen to me when it comes to bad things? And the voice they hear back is, because you're stupid and you deserve it. Because this kind of stuff always happens to you. You see, there's only four voices. There's God's voice. There's the devil's voice. There's their voice. And there's your voice. Too often times, our questions stem from us listening to the wrong voices. Some of us don't even realize that we're carrying their voice stronger on the inside than we are God's voice. Who is their voice? Whoever they are in your life. It might be a father that was there or wasn't there. It might be a mother that was or wasn't there. It might be somebody that abused you or hurt you, or it might be voices that you're listening to even in the world today that cause you to question certain things. There's only four voices. There's God's voice, there's the devil's voice. Very clear distinction. But there's their voice and your voice. And God's voice and your voice are the most important voices. So Jesus is asking these questions. Why is he asking this question? Like, who do we say that he is? So Peter steps up and he says, you are the Christ. And here's what he was saying. You see, in that day, there were other people that were named Jesus. In fact, it was a fairly common name. We don't think about that, but he didn't just say, well, you're Jesus. He said, no, you're the Christ. Yeah. You know, we live in Texas. Y'all know that. And Texas, one of the things Texas is famous for is Tex-Mex. Not just Mexican food, but Tex-Mex. Like in real authentic Mexican food, you don't have any such thing as queso. Queso is just cheese. But in Tex-Mex, it's a cheese dip. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That's not Mexican. That's Tex-Mex. And that's unique to Tex-Mex. And so, long story short, I was in a Mexican food place that long ago, and our waiter walks up and says, hello, I am Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus, you're here. He said, yes, I am. Can I take your order? Anyway, I just thought it was so funny. And then about three tables over, I heard another waiter come up to that table and say, hello, I am Jesus. I thought, man, two Jesuses in one restaurant. This is unbelievable. But in that day, Jesus was a name. Not a common name, but there were other people who were called Jesus. So when he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the one who makes the impossible possible. That's what he was saying in that one answer. He was saying, here's who you are to me. You're the one that can bring super into my natural. You're the one that can make all the wrongs right. You're the one that can make sure everything will be all right. And that's what he was saying. And so Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody put an amen on that. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. I came with an assignment this weekend to release an unstoppable spirit into this place in the name of Jesus. An unstoppable spirit. You see, who do you say that I am? Based on who you say Jesus is determines what will stop you in life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because you see me that way, guess what? My possibility will show up in your impossibility. But if you doubt who I am, then that can't happen for you. My super will show up in your natural. If you see me as not just somebody that started a religion, not just somebody that has a name, but a name that's above every name. And the reason Jesus' name is above every name is because he is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's so important for us to understand. He said, when you have this revelation, the gates of hell cannot stop you. Can I just remind you, if you are a born again, blood bought believer in Jesus Christ, not just a follower of Jesus, but you are, know that you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are an unstoppable force. God has called you to be unstoppable. So my question is, what can stop you? What is stopping you? From being everything that God's created you to be, from having the marriage of your dreams, from having the life of your dreams, from having the business of your dreams. What is it that's stopping you? So I want to take a few minutes and I just want to remind you, if you're going to be an unstoppable force in the earth, number one, you have to know who God is. You have to know who God is. That's what Jesus was saying. Listen, I'm going to go to the Father. You're all I've got. What if all God had in the earth was word of truth, church? What if all he had was you? Now, thank God that we're a part of a bigger church in the world. But what if all he had was us? He only had 12 disciples. And he was saying, flesh and blood cannot give you this revelation of who I am. It's not just your own intellect. But it's my spirit that gives you this revelation. Because when you get this revelation, the gates of hell will not be able to stop you. Nothing will be able to stop you. So you have to know who God is. I traveled many, many years with my team Strike Force, and we did big shows all across the world and did exhibitions of strength. In fact, we just did, when I was 64 at our church, every year on our anniversary is my birthday. And so I had just turned 64, and again, we had a policeman that was there, the Fort Worth police officer that came and handcuffed me, and still at 64, I was able to break out of the handcuffs. And so I'm not saying that so you'll clap or think that's awesome. I'm just saying that's what we have done for years, and I still train, and my team is still in place. And so anyway, we traveled all of doing feats of strength as a platform to get people's attention so they could hear about Jesus Christ. So the spectacular would open them up to this most spectacular, which is Jesus. And that no chain can hold you back. No bars can hold you back. Nothing can hold you down. And so as I traveled all over America and all around the world, I would be gone sometimes as many as 40 weeks a month. Or 40 weeks a year, I'm sorry. And so I would take my family on the road with me from time to time. But when they were younger, it was me. I would leave on Saturday and come back on Thursday. And one Thursday morning, I would try to always get back early Thursday morning. I got back and all of a sudden, I walked through the door. I'm trying to be real quiet and I hear these footprints. And all of a sudden around the corner, my little daughter, Keela, who was 4 years old at the time, looked at me and she went, and she runs towards me. And right before she got to me, she drops on her knees. She looks up in my eyes and she says, I'm so glad you're home, Daddy. And she reaches down and she kisses both of my feet, puts her hand over her heart. And she said, welcome home, my prince. I called her to myself, and all of a sudden it hit me. I said, "Baby, where did you learn this?" She goes, "I don't know. I said, "I want you to do the same thing, but I want you to go get your mom." I said, "Now don't tell her what you're doing, but just do exactly the same thing." So all of a sudden she comes running around the corner again, and then she looks back. She goes, "Mommy, are you watching?" She runs up to me, throws her hands in the air. "Welcome home, my prince," kisses my feet and says, "I'm so glad you're home." And so I looked at Sheila, I said, "How did she learn this?" She goes, "I don't know." And I said, "I like it. Like, I think it's a proper greeting. Like, when I come home, I would just love to be greeted this way." So when she kept doing it, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, years passed. She's about 11 years old. I grab her and I said, "Baby, why do you do that?" And she stood up and she kind of put her hand on her hip like this. I don't know how to do it, but girls know. She goes, "What do you mean? Why do I do that?" "You're my daddy. You're like, I do that because of who you are in my life." And I thought in my mind, so oftentimes we miss the godness of who God is because of our own view of our situation or our circumstance. Can I just tell you, no matter where you are right now and what you're facing right now, you gotta know who God is. And He's bigger than any circumstance. He's bigger than any situation. He's bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than any struggle. He's God. He's God. But only you can see Him in that light. You have to know who He is. The second thing you have to know is you have to know who you are. And the devil doesn't want you to know how powerful you are. He does not want you to know how powerful that you are. I grew up, and some of you have heard this story, but my father was a Dallas policeman, and he was actually the first man up in the Texas Book Depository. He found Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle. He, at the JFK assassination, he was the crime scene investigator before the FBI came in and took over the crime scene. To make a long story short, I grew up in a home where my dad was a forensic specialist, where he was in the fingerprinting division and of the Dallas Police Department. And I can remember asking him one day, I said, "Dad, like, why do you do fingerprinting with people?" He said, "Because people have fingerprints that nobody else has. Like, they've got their own unique fingerprint." And I said, "Well, why do you think God would give somebody their own unique fingerprint?" And of course, cop's response, "To identify him at the scene of a crime." I said, "I don't think that's why God does that, Dad. I don't think He gives everybody a finger." He said, "Yeah, but that's the way we know if somebody's done something." And this is, again, this is before DNA research and all the tools that they have. All they had was fingerprint analysis. So long story short is Jesus was praying the longest prayer that's ever recorded in the Bible. It's in John 17. And it's the last week of His life. In fact, from John 12 on is the last week of Jesus' life when you're reading the Gospel of John. And everything that happens from chapter 12 all throughout the rest of the book of the Gospel of John. Well, so we get to chapter 17, and in the last week of His life, Jesus is praying a prayer like this. He said, "Father, make them one even as we're one." Why? So that the world will know that You sent Me. Why do you think there's so much division in the world? Why do you think the enemy doesn't want us to get along? Why do you think the enemy wants us to look at each other and put each other in a box? Why do you think the enemy thinks like that? Because he never wants us to be truly united. The Bible says in Psalms 133, that when the brethren / and the sistren are in unity, God commands a blessing there. God commands a blessing there. It's so important. The Bible says, if any two of you agree is touching anything on earth, my Father in heaven will do it. Watch this. What's the language He uses? If any of you on earth agree as touching with your fingerprint. And I'm reading this one day and I get to verse 22 and it says this. Father, you've given me your glory and now I give it to them. Guess what they've discovered through DNA research since 1984? They've discovered that there's only a 1% difference between everybody that ever has been born. Red, yellow, black, and white. No matter where a person's been born, no matter what their ethnicity, there's only a 1% difference in everybody that's ever been born. 99% of our DNA is all the same. And as I was studying this and praying about it, I just started thinking in my mind, how crazy is that? And I felt like the Lord spoke this to me. The 1% that's unique to every person, evidenced by a fingerprint that nobody else has, is a unique deposit of my glory in them that nobody else in the world has. There's something on the inside of you, evidenced by a fingerprint at the end of your fingertips. This uniqueness that you have a fingerprint nobody else has to leave, an imprint that nobody else can leave in the world, is a unique deposit of God's glory that's only been given to you. You have to discover it. You have to develop it. You have to deploy it. I call it your X factor for success. And the reason I call it that is because God's given you a part of His glory that nobody else ever has ever had. It's what makes you so powerful. So you can't see it, but if there was a surface like this phone, in fact, there's my fingerprint on the phone. But if I was to touch my phone, it's my fingerprint is on there. My fingerprint's everywhere. Why would God do that? Because He's trying to get us to awaken, have this revelation that, wow, whatever I put my fingerprint on leaves an imprint. Both in the natural, supernatural. It leaves an imprint. And so that's why it's so important that we discover it, that we develop it, that we deploy it, because God has given you a fingerprint that nobody else has, so that you can leave an imprint that nobody else can leave with the gifts, with the talents, with the abilities that God's given you. And some of you, they're still undiscovered. But that 1% that God's given you is, again, your X factor for success. This is why I do the coaching that I do. This is why we do what we do, that we call our church the incubator of greatness. But out of that, around the world, we coach professionals and we coach people. We try to help them do what? To discover, develop, and deploy their unique fingerprint so they can leave an imprint. And watch this. When you add value, then you'll be valued. But you have to know who you are. So many people, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't mean that you really understand the deposit of God's glory that's on the inside of you. And that's why I wrote the book, Your Divine Fingerprint. It's because this is something that God showed me, that these are the areas of your life that are a part of you discovering and developing your fingerprint so that you can be deployed for God in the earth and leave the imprint of God's glory on people's lives that nobody else can just like you. It's so powerful. So again, my father and I had a very unique relationship, and make a long, long story short. My dad would take me to school from time to time, in his squad car. And so that was kind of an interesting deal, but it didn't matter what car I was in. I'd slide right over next to him. I put my arm around him. And so here we are. I was a pretty big kid. I'm 6'6", but even when I was about 11, I was still pretty big. My dad was only 5'9". And so I would slide right over next to him. Here I'm this big kid with my arm around my dad, and we're in his squad car. Well, as we pull up in front of school, some of my friends would always wait and watch, you know. First of all, they like to see that, but they also like to see what I'm going to tell you about next. And that is, I would turn, I'd look at my dad, he'd look straight ahead, we didn't talk the whole time. I would turn, I'd look at him right in his ear. He'd go, "Have a good day, son." And I'd look him right in his ear and I'd say, "Dad, I love you." And he would just shake his head, yes. And every day that he took me to school, now he didn't take me to school every day, but every day he took me to school, this happened. I would say, "Dad, repeat this after me. Say, I..." He would say, "I love you." He was only able to say it because I coached him through it. And so then I would say, "Dad, have a great day." And he would still be looking straight ahead. And I would take his face and I would turn it towards me. And his eyes would literally be look. I go, "Look at me." And he would look at me and I'd kiss him right on his lips. And I'd say, "I love you, Dad." He would just shake his head and go, "Okay, son, have a good day." So He would, I would get out of the car. My friends, I was always bigger than most of my friends. They didn't say anything. They just go, hey man, you know. And so anyway, they would always watch me kiss my dad. So my mother was giving me the business about this one time. She said, Keith Allen, my middle name's Allen, your father's a public servant. You can't just slide right over next to him in his squad car and be hugging all over him and loving all over him, kissing him on his lips. And one day I broke and I said, Mom, I said, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. And I said, you know how dad didn't have a dad? She's looking at me and I said, God spoke something to me. And what he spoke to me is to love my dad in a way that his dad didn't love him. And I said, but I want your permission. And my mom starts crying and she goes, that's exactly what your father needs. Yes. Yes. So for the rest of my life, I hugged on him, kissed him, loved him. Long story short, when he died a few years ago, I was in the room, just me and him. And I said, Dad, you've been a great dad. You see, it wasn't until after a massive heart attack when he was 67 that he finally opened up his heart to God. That my father let me love him in a way that his own father didn't love him. It was my unique fingerprint. So many times we take our cues from our parents. We take our cues from how people are with us. We take our cues from our spouse and we stop being who we are in the marriage. We stop being who we are in the family because of what they've said and because of what they've done. Listen, God didn't give you your fingerprint that's anything like your mama or your daddy. In fact, it's your unique fingerprint. And it doesn't matter what people say or how people see you. It matters how God sees you and how God made you and what you bring to every relationship, what you bring to all of your family members, what you bring wherever you go, because the glory of God is resident within you. The last thing is this. If you're going to be unstoppable, you got to know who God is. You got to know who you are. But you've also got to know, what has God put me on the earth to do? And this is where it gets a little bit in the weeds for people. Like, why am I on the earth? Why am I on the earth? I've shared this story all around the world. I was just a baby and my mom had left me in a playpen that was next to her bed. And my mamma, my grandmother, had come over to take care of me. And my mother put me down for a nap. And long story short, my mom said to my mamma, she said, listen, I put Keith down for a nap. You can check on him 40 minutes, check on him in an hour, but he's going to be sleeping. And so my 2.5-year-old brother and I were there and I was taking a nap. And so my mother went to a choir banquet, and when she took the dress out of the plastic laundry clothes bag, she didn't think one thing about it. She just threw it on the bed and she got dressed and she was off. My brother walked into the kitchen where my mamma was and said, mamma, Keith's all blue. And she didn't know what he was talking about, but he kept coming back in about 10 minutes later. And all of a sudden my mamaw said, I better go check on Keith. And she went, and when she looked in the playpen, which was about bed height, she couldn't tell what had happened, but I was enveloped in a laundry clothes bag, a plastic bag. I had suffocated completely to death. I was blue. My nose was bleeding. My ears were bleeding. I'd bled out. I was already dead. And she picked me up. She didn't know it, but she called the emergency number. Long story short, in 1961, there wasn't an emergency center on the corner. In fact, Methodist Hospital in South Dallas, where I grew up, was about 30 minutes from our house. And to make a very long story short, the ambulance was dispatched. My mamma was standing out on the curb and the ambulance had a flat tire. There wasn't cellular communication like there is today. No, my mamma just stood out there 5 minutes past, 10 minutes past, 30 minutes past. She's praying the whole time. I'm bleeding out on her. I'm dead. I'm gone. When a fire truck pulled up and a man by the name of E.R. Kaufman, who was the fire chief, jumped out and he said, ma'am, how long has it been like this? She said, I've been out here for at least 30 minutes. He said, he's gone, but we'll do everything we can. And they did everything they could. They tried everything. Finally, they put a sheet over me, pronounced me dead. When all of a sudden this born again spirit filled mamma of mine began to pray, she said, God, you're the resurrection and the life. And I believe that you can bring this boy back to life. And in the name of Jesus, resurrect him. And so all of a sudden You know, the firemen, they were done. They were finished. All of a sudden, the sheet blew off of me. There was a gust of wind as a little baby blew out of me, blew the sheet off of me. I started moving. The firemen started freaking out. My mama started doing something like that. She started worshiping God, and I came back to life. Now, that would be a cute story if it wasn't documented. So let me close and let me let you see this. This is Thanksgiving Day, the Dallas Morning News, front page edition. That's me, that's my father, Jimmy the cop, that's my beautiful mother who's still alive today, that's my brother, that's my mama on the back. Here's what it says, a Thanksgiving blessing. Young Keith Allen Kraft will be a real life Thanksgiving blessing this year to his parents, Mr. and Ms. James Kraft, his grandmother, Bessie Ferguson, his brother, Bruce Kraft. The boy suffocated, here's what they said in the paper, but was brought back to life earlier this year. Earlier this year. Can I just tell you something? Listen to me. You know what God brought me to tell you? Here was a mamaw. Here was a mamaw. Here was a grandmother who knew who she was. She knew why God put her on the earth. And when I needed my miracle, she spoke it. When I needed my miracle, she prayed. When I needed my touch from God, her fingerprints were wrapped around me. And I'm alive at 64 because she believed. Come on, y'all. Now I want you to, everybody, just stand with me as we close. Listen very carefully. Listen. Just stay with me just for a second. As they put that picture back up there, I want to tell you one more thing. Here's what the picture doesn't tell. 5 years before this picture, you can't see it, but my mama was burned severely by radiation because she had both of her breasts removed. And 5 years before this, in the 1950s, they didn't have the technology they have today. If you had breast cancer, it was a death sentence. They burned her body, literally, not from head to toe, but from neck all the way down, where she would live the rest of her life with open wounds. When her husband found out that she was going to have her breast removed, he told her, he said, that means you're not a woman anymore. And he left with her best friend. They got the cancer, but it set in motion a lot of other worse stuff that she would have to fight for the rest of her life. Here's what she didn't say when she walked out on that curb. God, you know, I've prayed. You really didn't heal my cancer. I've just got burns all over my body. My husband, who was my husband for 40 years, left me for my best friend. My grandson's dead, and there's just obviously nothing you can do. She didn't say that. Regardless of her own pain and regardless of what she had gone through, she still believed in who Jesus is. She still believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And she prayed and she stood on that curb and held me when it looked like help had arrived, but God wanted it to go all the way to where it would be irreversible so that His glory could be seen. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you will go through. But here's what I can tell you. God has given you a fingerprint that nobody else has to leave an imprint that nobody else can leave. Would you just lift up those fingerprints and those handprints right now? Because I'm going to do what I'm called by God and assigned by God to do today. God, I thank you for the unstoppable spirit that you have put in me. And that you've given me this life assignment, this life message to speak an unstoppable spirit into every person who will see you as Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, I pray for every person who's struggling today, for every person who's in the battle of their life to understand this thing is something that God says, I will work for your good. This thing is something that's not just about the miracle that you need, but God is going to use this thing to make you a miracle worker. In the name of Jesus, I speak over Word of Truth Church. I speak into your spirit, an unstoppable spirit. In the name of Jesus, that mark this day down, March 10th, 2024, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you from this time forth. You are unstoppable. In the name of Jesus. Come on, do you receive that today? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. And Father, I just pray that you would continue the work that you started a few minutes ago. And that they would walk out of here, not just with their head held high, but they would walk out of here knowing spirit, soul, and body. I am an unstoppable force. I am a daughter or son of the Most High God. I know who my God is. I know who I am. I know what I'm put on the earth to do. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against me. I speak that in the name of Jesus. And everybody put an amen on that. Amen.